in this week's market update. An early summer pause as the cycle moves from hope to growth and the West starts to work together again as the G7 meet here in the UK. Investors and holidaymakers are both in a holding pattern this week. We've been offered a glimpse of the post-pandemic world, but we might still have a wait before we can start to enjoy it. The reopening trade here in the UK is two steps forward and one back again at the moment. The weather looks like summer again, but the summer holidays are as uncertain as ever, with Portugal coming off the green list this week. That means, for now, there is essentially no alternative to the staycation. The promised end of restrictions on 21st of June may or may not happen. We just have to wait. Well, it's a similar story for investors as we approach the halfway mark in 2021. Markets are treading water at the moment as the hope phase, in which prices are driven by improving valuation multiples, gives way to the growth phase, in which better earnings are the focus. We've been here before. The shape of the market recovery looks a carbon copy of that in 2009 after the financial crisis. Then we saw the market move ahead, even as earnings were still falling, then ease back as profits were actually delivered. This time around, we've enjoyed a very similar hope rally over the past 14 months. Now, earnings are needed to justify today's prices. When you consider the very different backgrounds, the market response has been surprisingly similar. Evidence that stock market history may not repeat, but it often does rhyme. It's been exactly the same V-shaped recovery in anticipation of that earnings recovery. What remains less certain is what happens next. The starting point for valuations was higher this time around, so there's less room for markets to keep grinding higher as they did after a temporary retreat in 2010. But it can't be ruled out. There have been two 20-year bull markets in the post-war era. We could be halfway through a third. Look behind the scenes and the dynamics of the market are exactly what you would expect in a reflationary recovery. Over the first 5 months of the year, there's been a big divergence between the bond market, which thrives on bad news, pushing yields down and so prices higher, and the equity market, which prefers good news. The top performing asset class since the start of the year has been small value stocks, the kinds of company that appeal to investors during a strong recovery, when their risks appear more acceptable and the potential for profits growth is also strongest. Commodities are next, and REITs have recovered somewhat from last year's walloping. The difference between the winners and losers is significant. Long-term government bonds down 11% year to date, small value stocks up 26%. Asset allocation has been crucial this year. The reason that markets are now pausing is that investors are starting to ask the inevitable and correct question. When will the authorities notice that things are getting better and turn the liquidity taps off again? Fears of a so-called tapering of monetary support hit markets hard in 2013. They might do so again. In that respect, last week's disappointing non-farm payroll employment numbers were actually a positive, because they took the pressure off the Federal Reserve to start reducing the level of asset purchases and mean it can hold off thinking about higher interest rates for a while longer. That's the good news. Less good is the evidence that despite the slower than expected growth in employment, companies are struggling to find the right workers and are having to pay up to attract them. Wages in the US rose by an annualised 7% between April and May. And there's a similar story in some sectors here, where companies looking to capitalise on the reopening of the economy are scrabbling around in a smaller post-Brexit labour pool. Workers with greater pricing power pushing for higher wages might be the missing link in the inflation story. It's certainly been a decade since we've been talking in this way. But for every economist worrying about wages, there's one who is relaxed. So again, it's a matter of wait and see. But maybe not for too long. As a first hint of what's happening, this week's inflation data for May in the US could provide a shock. Consumer prices rose by 4.2% in April, taking everyone by surprise. And now a Bloomberg survey of economists points to a 4.7% hike in May. The core inflation rate, which excludes food and energy, is expected to have risen from 3% to 3.4%, and that would be the highest rate since the 1990s. For now, Jay Powell, the Federal Reserve Chairman, is sticking to the line that rises in consumer prices are temporary, a result of low comparable data from last year at the worst of the pandemic lockdowns. Maybe the first evidence of the taper, therefore, will be left until the Jackson Hole Central Bank Summit in August, when changes in thinking are sometimes floated past an investment world still enjoying its summer break. In which case, we can expect a couple of months of nervous sidetracking by the main equity benchmarks. Certainly, it would be wrong to think that some kind of normalisation of policy can be avoided indefinitely. The gap between the natural rate of interest, given the background economic situation, and the actual rate is greater today than it was following the financial crisis, and the recovery is far stronger today than it was then. The stock market is starting to sense that a change is in the air. In fact, the sectors most sensitive to a rising rate environment, such as the technology growth stocks, started underperforming about 3 months ago. The growth and value styles have converged after a long period in which growth was dominant. Another reason why the big tech stocks have lost their momentum recently has been the suspicion, confirmed this week ahead of the G7 summit in Cornwall at the weekend, that the regulatory and tax environment for footloose multinationals is only going to tighten from here. The tax deal thrashed out by the world's leading advanced countries is an early sign that under President Joe Biden, the West is once again looking to cooperate in a reversal of the America First Trump approach. The tax accord is an opening salvo in a long process, but it points towards the closing of tax loopholes that have allowed big international businesses to minimise their tax bills, and the start of a new era in which all companies are seen to be paying their fair share in the countries in which they operate. There's a long way to go. The next step is getting the G20 to agree to the G7's terms at its next summit in Venice next month. And then there's the bigger challenge still of getting all 139 countries involved in the OECD's talks in Paris to agree. As with all things tax related, this is complex. Plenty of people think the proposed measures, including a 15% global minimum tax rate, are too low. Others think the opposite. Whatever happens, it will have a market impact, though, not least because the rise in markets in recent years has been driven in large part by the kinds of companies that the new rules are targeting. Other things to look out for, finally, in a quiet week on the corporate front, but a reasonably interesting one from an economic perspective, include UK retail sales and UK GDP numbers and the latest ECB meeting on Thursday.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.